This week's Parsha Shmini, is dedicated to a large chunk to the Kashrus laws, and one of the dimensions of the Kashrus laws that is central and has tremendous repercussions halacha is the case of Macholim Asurim Shenis Yavshu. These are foodstuffs that are prohibited, but yet they got very dried out. And this is going to be relevant to the famous controversy about gelatin. The Beis Yosef and the Ramah brought this halacha in the name of the Shibole HaLeket, who was matir, to create cheese by filling milk into what's called arkeva, which is made of the lining of the stomach of an animal. And the reason for this heter is because this arkeva is nisyavesh ha'ar v'havike eitz bi'alma. It's completely, totally dried up, and therefore it has the status of wood, v'ein bo shum lachluchis basar. And even though technically it comes from meat, from the keva, but nevertheless, it has no liquid, no moisture, and therefore its status is that of eitz bi'alma. Now, what we want to study today is whether or not this din applies only to the case of arkeva, because in and of itself is heter, and therefore when it gets dried up and it doesn't have any taste left to it, it's all dried, it cannot generate an iser of chalav, a bas of chalav, when the chalav is left to curdle in the rennet in this keva, or does this apply also to something which is already macholas asuros? For example, let's say you have an animal that died without shechita, it's an avela, or a trefa that dies even with shechita, but it's going to die. In such a case, the basar is already asur, and once there's a chal shem isur on the basar, you can't be mafkia that isur, that shem isur, after it gets dried up. That's going to be a major controversy within the context of the Shibole HaLeket, as Amir Hashem will see as we go along. The Shach comments on the Ramah, and he says, Mikomakom nir delechatchila ein lasos ken. Even though the Ramah bases his heter on the Shibole HaLeket, nevertheless the situation is only b'dievet. One should not be producing this basar b'chalav through the arkeva l'chatchila. The Prima Gadim writes that there's an iser to cook the meat even if it's yavesh ke'etz, because as a result of cooking it, or perhaps shriya, if you let it soak for 24 hours meisleis, that will soften up the meat and bring back its original status as basar. And the question is how we paskin halach lamaisa on this issue. The Rambam writes that ha'ochel min avelu trefa min ha'ar u min atzomos, anyone who eats from a non-kosher meat that was either nevela or trefa, from the skin, the hide of the meat, or from the bones of the meat, afal pishu asur, even though it is prohibited to do so, reza potur bipnesha elu enom ru'uyim la'chila. In other words, we have a principle that you're only chayiv in macholas asuros if you eat something that's edible. Here it's not edible, and therefore you're potter. But the Rambam nevertheless says it's asur. You're not allowed to eat these parts of the meat, even though they're not edible. And what we want to know is this basically what we call derech achila, the precondition for any chiyuv and any onesh for macholas asuros, means you have to eat it the normal way it's eaten. Or perhaps one could say that in the case of Ar and Atzamos, these weren't included bichlal in the Isur. Even though the Rambam does say it's also, we're going to have to reinterpret the Rambam according to this second side. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah has a heter for something that's called mushk, which is produced, is manufactured from dam chaya. And the reason for that is because in the process of producing this mushk, is Yotza Mitoras Dam. It loses its identity as Dam. And this is what we call Panim Chadoshes Bo'olakan. Now the poskim want to know, do we paskin la locha like Rabbeinu Yonah? And is there some difference between a change that was effectuated bi-Adam by human activity, and it was manufactured in such a way that it changes its identity, or it has to be something that changed as a matter of natural process, what we call bidei shamayim. In the case of Nevelos and Trefos, we have in contemporary production the possibility of taking chemicals and to do what's called the ibud. And as a result of this ibud, as a result of this process, you convert the Nevelos and Trefos to something that's not roy, even for achilas kelev. It's totally inedible, even for an animal. And then afterwards, you change that manufacturing process in such a way that now it becomes royal achilah, now it becomes edible, and it becomes an ingredient in the creation of certain mizonos. Do we say that now it's chosel in niyar, it comes back into its original state, even though at one point it was mutter, it was not royal achilah, but now it's royal achilah? Do we say no? Once it was mutter, it's a chefzer d'etera, you cannot reverse that process. Now, there's a great machlokas haposkim that began in the previous generation regarding gelatin. Is gelatin kosher or it's not? Gelatin is produced from bones and hides of animals that are non-kosher. And such gelatin, is it permissible to eat or is it not? Another issue is gelatin that is produced from kosher animals and is now introduced as an ingredient with milk products. Is there a basa b'chalav issue? And finally, we get to the issue about certain medications that have gelatin mixed in, and this gelatin comes from the Nevelos and Trefos. Are you allowed to feed a chole? Again, if he's a chole sheish bo sakana, there's nothing to talk about, then you're allowed to violate any Easter in the Torah. But are we allowed to take this trufa, this medication, and feed it to a cholish ain bo sakana? And a similar kind of question applies to the production of different kinds of delis and hot dogs and so forth that have these sheaths on them that are created from, you know, these, they look like skins almost, the plastic skins that are made and produced from the hides of Nevelos and Trefos. Now, keep in mind that gelatin is one of the ingredients which is used all over the place in the production of food in the modern context. And most of those gelatins are produced from either bones or the skins of non-kosher animals. There are exceptions to that rule, but as a general rule, that's how they're produced. Just to read a few short sentences from Winklepedia on gelatin. Gelatin is a translucent, colorless, brittle, meaning it's dry, flavorless food derived from collagen, which is obtained from various animal body parts. It's commonly used as a gelling agent in food, in pharmaceutical drugs, in vitamin capsules. It's used also in cosmetic manufacturing. And substances that contain gelatin are called gelatinous. Gelatin is a hydrolyzed form of collagen, and he goes through some of the chemistry of how the molecular weight ranges in chemical methods of denaturalization, a process of hydrolysis. And it is common in gummy candies, as well as products such as marshmallows, gelatin desserts, ice creams, dips, and yogurts. Gelatin comes in the form of sheets, granules, powder. There are instant types of gelatins that can be added to food. Others need to be soaked in water beforehand. To make a long story short, we're certainly talking about something that's used in contemporary manufacturing on a very, very frequent basis. So this is the process of hydrolysis of collagen, which is extracted from the skin, the bones, and the tissues of animals such as cattle, chicken, pigs, and fish. Now again, there's a lot of physics here about this process of hydrolysis and the change in the molecular bonds between collagen strands that are broken down into form that rearrange more easily, and gelatin dissolves readily in hot water, and you can set it on a gill to cooling. Now, the mechanical properties of gelatin are very sensitive to temperature violations or variations. And he says that the worldwide production amount of gelatin is about 400,000 tons per year. Just to give you a flavor, an idea of how voluminous this production is. And he speaks about, recently, fish byproducts also have been considered suitable because they eliminate some of the religious obstacles surrounding gelatin consumption. Gelatin classically is derived from pork skins, pork, cattle bones, split cattle hides. And again, we're talking about a process of drying collagen in a process of hydrolysis, and the processing may take several weeks, but it comes from primarily non-kosher animals. The most common form of manufacturing gelatin is from animal bones. Now, what we want to talk about is this process of drying the bones and what it means halachically. We open up with the Beis Yosef, and the Ramah, who bring the Shibolei Aleket, and this you can take a look at in your Yoredei Siman Pei Zayin. And in the Beis Yosef, he writes that Kosam b'Shibolei Aleket Or Keva Shemolchim Umiyabshim Oso. So we're talking about the skin of an animal that is dried, Mimalin Oso Cholov, and then you fill it up with milk in a curdling process. Is Keva Shemis Yabish Or Havi Ke'etz Bialma V'Embo Shum Lachluchis Basar. So it means that according to this approach, based on the Shibolei Aleket, when we buy cheese from Goyim, and the process of creating that cheese is Mamidin Esagvina Bi'or Keva Nevela, there's a strong reason to say that this should be Mutter, to buy cheeses from Goyim. And basically it's a Svek Sveka, because number one, we don't know for sure that they used the arkeva in order to curdle the milk and turn it into cheese. And secondly, even if I assume, that's the second suffix, that they used arkeva of a kevas nevela, but shema nisyabesh ha'or, that maybe before they used these skins, they first dried them up, v'havi ke'etz ba'alma. And therefore, technically, based on the svar of Svek Sveka, cheeses from goyim should be mutter. And the Machzik Brach of the Chidah says, "Ani bi einai nizdami liyodi Shibolei Aleket." I got access to apparently a manuscript copy of the Shibolei Aleket, and the language is Mashemolchim or Hakeva miyabshino so viakach mimalino so cholav muter sheafal pishemolchim hakeva lo amirim aliyach areiv kiroseach. The kevin shenisyabe shor havi keitz v'alma ve'embo shum lachluchis basar. And this is codified by the Ramah in Yoredeya Pei Zayin, when he says or hakeva molchino so miyabshino so nasa keitz memalino so cholav muter meyachshin ziyabeish havi keitz b'alma. But if you take a look in the Shach writes that although this heter applies not just to arkeva, but who had been l'shar b'nei me'ayim k'shemiyabshin osam, any part of the innards of the animal that are dry to the point that chenasa eitz mikol makom nira d'lechatchilein lasos came. This is not something that we're allowed to do l'chatchila, to place the milk into dried parts of an animal. And the Prima Gadim adds, Basar yavesh ke'etz oser v'adin ar kev b'nei me'ayim b'bishol. You're not allowed to take the ar keva that we've been discussing even if it's dried, and cook it, because the misrachech, but no same time, and then it gives off a time of basar again. If you were to take this arkeva that's dried and soak it in liquid for 24 hours, is that too will soften the meat, and once again the taste of the basar will be back to where it was originally before it was dried, and will give that taste of basar into the cholov. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger adds alechatila ein lasos came, and he says v'chein kasubo rikash lahachmir. So he further adds other poskim who agree that lechatila we have to be machmir as far as this is concerned. If we take a look in the Pischei Tshuva over there in Simon Pei Zayin, he quotes the Tshuva of the Teferes Tzvi, and we'll read the language of the Pischei Tshuva. He says, Toloim Adumim, some sort of a worm, a red worm, Shemiyabshin Osan, and they dry them up. Vitzovim bahem mashke yash, and they use these dried toloim to create some sort of a dye, which they add to in the production of intoxicating liquors, and it adds a color to that mixture. He says mutter gam ke mitam zeh. The same heter applies. He doesn't seem to have any inhibitions about drinking this whiskey that has in it a combination of an ingredient called tolas adumim, toloim adumim. And the reason for this heter that we see in the Shiboli Aleket, and we see it codified in the Beis Yosef, in the Ramah, and here again in the Pischei Tshuva, the name of the Teferes Tzvi, this is all based on a principle which is formulated by the Nodim Yehuda, who in turn derives it from the Rambam in Hilchas Tumas Ochlim. And this is very interesting, whether or not we have a valid equation between Tumas Ochlim and what determines what an Ochel is, as far as Kabbalah's Tuma, and Ochlim as far as Machalas Asuras are concerned. And the Rambam himself, in Hilchas Tumas Ochlin, is quoted here in the Nodim Yehuda. And let's just see if we can find, if we can zoom in. It's a long tshuva of the Nodim Yehuda Madura Kama Simon Chavav. And he's discussing the case of a dag tame, which they dry. It's called shalfuthis, that's the name of the fish. We'll have to figure out what that is. And they add it also to various liquids and mashkim, and this is called med, that's in Poland, or medvash. We once discussed medvash, whether it has the status of dalid kosos for Pesach. In any event, the issue here might be bittul, because we take this dag tome, and by mixing it together in the mashke, it's batel, but ein mevat l'nisa l'chatchila. But he writes, yesh rotzel ahater bitam shekfar nisyabesh v'hu ke'etz. And then he goes through the Shulchan Aruch Yerodei Siman Pei Zayin that we saw before with the Shach, who says l'chatchila we don't do so. And then he writes, he says, ein l'damos l'sham, d'sham or hakeva heter hu. In other words, the Nodim Yehuda lays down the premise that the arkeva that's being used for the production of cheese is itself heter. And therefore, there won't be a chal shem iser once you turn this heter itself into something that's dry. In other words, it's nisyabesh mikodem before chalos shem iser b'tzarfufo imacholov. And therefore, since already before you mixed it with the milk, it had lost its time, lo chal of shame basa b'chol, vavol shalfuchis, shaldag tamehu, this already kvar chal of shem isur veinu nifka mimenu al yidei shenis yabesh ad shiis yabesh shaloya roi lekelev. So once there's a shem isur, the only way you could be mafkir the shem isur is by converting it to something that's inedible even for a dog. And in the context of this tshuva, he says, "B'perik beis mitumas ochlin alocha yud ches." The Rambam writes that yavesh kicheres tahar. If you have food that becomes so dry, it's like a piece of china; it's totally dried out. Is then it is not ochel le'inin kabbalas tuma. And based on this Rambam, he raises the question of these dried out pieces of the innards of the animal. If, let's say, you soak them in liquids, in water, do they now return to their original state? And he says the following: Haramam lo hisna shem yuchal lachs over lishol shutame. The Rambam doesn't say that he might come to soak it again, and then it becomes roi lachila. Ubeperek aleph miovas atumos halacha yud gimel. He refers now to another Rambam, Gabi Nevela, perek dal halacha yud beis Gabi Sheretz, perek hey halacha yud dal b'shicha zera. The Rambam consistently applies this principle, and in all these cases, it seems that the Shema Ochel is paka as a result of this process of hisyabshus, and the Buddha suggests mizeh nearly niyastaitid the nafik l'shibul elechet. This was the source for the shibul elechet's conclusion about our keva shemiyabshino sovenase eitz and hotzio midivrei Rambam shal yideya yeveshus. Botel Toras Ochel. Umashe Kosev Hashach says Nerod Yehuda, when the Shach says Chatchile in Lasos Kei Nerol in Yestaiti Tamo Lochush Ledas HaMachmirim De Lo Yalfinon Isur Mituma. In other words, this analogy from Tumas Ochlin and what defines an Ochel as far as Kabbalah's Tuma to Macholas Asusuf, what defines an Ochel for eating purposes, is not a valid analogy, and that's why there's room to be machmir. And the isur that we're dealing with is an isur Torah, and therefore yesh la'achmir b'zeh shelo nelif isur mituma l'chein kosev hashach shelo lasis kein l'chatchila. Fine. Those are some of the highlights here of the tshuva, the Nodim Yehuda. And we mentioned that the Piskei Tshuva, the name of the Tiferes Tzvi, seems to argue with the Prima Gadim. And the Prima Gadim says that if you soak it even after it was dried out and it returns to the state of Tam, it's Asur. That's the Prima Gadim, because it's Misrachech. However, that's not the conclusion of the Tiferes Tzvi. The Tiferes Tzvi assumes, against the Prima Gadim, that once it's Basa Yavesh, it's Eino Asur. And then the Piskei Tshuva says, the Afal Yidei Shriya Meisleis Nami Shari, V'chein Mevur B'Tshuvas Nodim Yehuda, El Shekosav Shezed Dafka B'Basa B'Chol Kemin Shenis Yavesh Mikodem Abasar. He says that according to the Nodim Yehuda, this entire logic of the Shibole Aleket to be mati because it became dry, that's only with regard to mixing this meat, or what was meat, is with milk in Basa B'Chola, because since it had a tam heter of Nisyabshus even before it had been cooked with cholav, therefore lo cholav shein basa b'chol, babo basa iser. But if you start with something that's nevelu treifa, lo nifka mimenu shein iser al yedei shenis yavesh. And the Tiferes Tzvi argues against this, And he's willing to take a stand that once it's Yavesh, even though it started with the Shem Yisra, the Paka Shem Yisra, and that's it. The Loka Prima Godim, Loka No the Yehuda. So that the Teferes Tzvi that's quoted in the Piskei Tshuva is arguing on the one hand against the Prima Godim, that you can reverse the process and again resurrect the Shem Ochel by soaking this dry food. And at the same time, he argues with the Nodav Yehuda and applies this heter of Hisyabshus of the Shibolei Leket even to something that had a Shem Iser to begin with. Now, we mentioned that the Nodav Yehuda referred to the Rambam in Hilchas Macholos Asuros, Perek Dalat Aloch Yud Ches Ha'ochel Min Avelu Trefo Behema V'chai Tmei Min Ha'or U'min Ha'matzomos. The Rambam has Or and Atzomos here as well. Now, it could be possible that the Nodav Yehuda is largely basing himself on the sheet of Rabbi Meir in Masechta Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Meir has a sheet on Daf Samach Zayin, Amud Beis, going on to Samach Ches, Amud Aleph, that Nevela, even if it's Nisracha, Lo Paka Mimenu Shem Nevela. And that's what the Nodav Yehuda means, that if you start with a Dag Tameh, or with a Nevela Trefa, and there's already a Chalo Shem Isur, it's not Paka by Hisyavshus. Now, we have here a Tshuva, which we don't have time to go through right now, of Rav Avadya Yosef and Yabia Omer, and he proves that we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir, but rather we paskin like Rabbi Shimon, basing himself in the Yabia Omer on the Yushalmi, that the Yushalmi paskin is like Rabbi Shimon, that Nevela Shem Nisrucha Muteres. And the Piskei Tshuva brings, as we saw before, just to summarize again, the Teferes Tzvi and others, the Shvus Yaakov, they argue against the Nodav Yehuda, and even in Macholos Asuros, once there's a Hisyavshus, it gets dried up, Pakal Shem Yisur. But the Maisa, after all is said and done, what we want to see now is that the Poskim, the contemporary Poskim, have a Machlokas Ledina, whether or not we have to be concerned with the sheet of the Nodav Yehuda, or can we rely on those poskim who disagree with the Nodav Yehuda? For example, in the Shut Har Tzvi of the Chief Rabbi of Yerushalayim, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, he writes that we have to be worried, and Yesh Lachush L'Shitas HaNodav Yehuda, but Rav Avadya Yosef brings in his Yabia Omer that the later poskim argue against the Nodav Yehuda, and he proves that they are right from the Nusach of the Chida that we saw before, the Machzik Bracha of the Shibolei Leket, because the Shibolei Leket is explicitly relating to a case of Kevas Nevela. And nevertheless, this Yabshus is enough to be Matir. Umi'ata, he writes, that Yesh Makom Rav Lahatir Gelatin, Shenasa Min Ha'aru Min Atzomas HaMiyubashim Hetev, that there is room to permit gelatin that's made and produced from the bones and the skins that are dried from the animal, afal pi shemi behemis tmeis nevelis treifus, because it all comes back to the Beis Yosef who quoted and relied on the Shibolei Leket, and we saw that also in the Ramah, and the Shibolei Leket himself is explicitly addressing the case of Kevas Nevela. So there already was a Shem Yisur, and yet this Yabshus, that process of dry, will undermine and invalidate, so to speak, the shame Nevela, the shame Yisur. So basically, it seems like it might break down to Ashkenazim versus Sfaradim. In any event, there might be a whole nother approach to being Matir gelatin, and that's based on Rabbeinu Yonah, which we mentioned at the outset, which is quoted by the Rush in Masechta Brachos. And this you'll see that the Rush in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah is matir, this is on the top of page 3, is matir this case of mushk, which is made from dam, made from the blood of animals, of a chaya. And he says, Yotza mitoras dam, you're allowed to eat this mushk because it's no longer dam, halachically, because panim chadosh is bolakan. And we have a new identity that emerges here through the manufacturing process. And once again, Rabbi Avadya Yosef makes a big deal about the fact that the poskim write that we should rely on Rabbeinu Yonah, lahalacha lemaisa, and therefore gelatin, which is nitchan hetev, they take these bones and these skins and they grind them down. Nefach hakol yavak, dak, it's converted into a very thin powder, is part of Chadosh's bolakan. So forget about the issue of his yavshus and the fact that it no longer tastes like meat. Let's just talk about the fact that the process changes the very identity of the object in such a way that it's no longer recognizable as it was in its original state. And therefore, it's like offer bialma. And therefore, you'll be allowed to take this and put it into, as an ingredient, into any sort of machal or mashke. And this is the svar of Rabbi Yona. Now, one of the Sephardic poskim, Rabbi Tzion Abishol, who passed away not so long ago, he writes, and he's quoted also by the Abia Omer, that he would differentiate between a change in the object that was done naturally, that's called bidei shamayim, like in the case of mushk, and that was the case where Rabbi Yonah was matir, as opposed to a change that was done, effectuated by bidei adam as a human manufacturing process. And there Rabbi Yonah is not matir. Even though Rabbi Yosef quotes this tshuva of Rav Abishol, nevertheless, he also quotes at the same time a tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, and the Chassam Sofer obviously doesn't use or doesn't accept this distinction between bidei shamayim and bidei adam. And if that be the case, it could be that we're back to Rabbi Yonah as a heter of the manufacturing process of Panim Chadosh's Bolakam, when there's such a radical fundamental change in the very structure of the object itself. Now, the Minchas Yitzchak seems to assume the same logic of Rabbi Tzion Abishol. And there does seem to be some support for that shita, in which case the manufacturing process bidei adam would not generate a shinui. Now, logically, I'm not sure that we understand exactly what difference it makes whether it was a natural process or a manufacturing process bidei adam. In any event, at the end of the day, the object was ground and converted into a powder in such a way that it's panim chadoshes bo'olakam. Now let's mention that the Tzitz Eliezer quotes Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky, who before he came to Beit Vegan was the Av Bezdin of the Bezdin of London. Today the Bezdin is overseen by Rav Ehrentreut, but back in the day the Dayan was Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky, and he writes that Ein Mokom L'Masu Matin Beheter Ajelten Nasim Yatzomus Nevelus Utrefus Al Pi Divrei Rabbeinu Yonah. He says that there's no way that you can apply Rabbeinu Yonah to the issue of gelatin when this gelatin is produced from the bones of Nevelus and Trefus. Why? Ki gelatin eino chomer shemishtane. The gelatin is not really a change in the chomer itself. Elazel oso chomer biatzmo, sheyeshno biatzomos meikaro. He says that substantially, what we have in gelatin is the same identical composition and chemical ingredients that we have in the atzomos themselves from the very beginning. Kol ha'em tzoyim ha'chimim, and all the chemical processes that are used, shemishtam shebem betasios ha'gelatin, in the manufacturing process of gelatin, einum boim el lahafrid sha'ar chomrim sheish batzomos mi'chomer ha'gelatin. It's all a process of removing certain ingredients from the bones, so you're left with one ingredient, gelatin, which is the original ingredient. Shelo yafsidu, but they never actually are mafsid, they never actually destroy the gelatin element. Lo yigru estivo, and they don't change its very essence. And therefore, Rabbi Yechezkel Abramsky objects to this logical approach to apply the principle of Rabbi Yonah Panim Chadoshos to the case of gelatin, because in the process of manufacturing gelatin, so he claims, the original gelatin still remains unchanged. Now, gelatin, as a general rule, we said, was produced by bones, from the bones of animals. Now, one of the major issues in terms of the kashrus issue of gelatin is, of course, the nature of the isur or and atzovos in Nevelos and Trefus. The Rambam writes that are ochel min avelu treif min aor min atzomas af bishu osa reza potter, as we saw before. And the Igros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein writes that Iser Jelton rak sofek Iser ohu rak Iser midrabanan. The premise of Rav Moshe Feinstein in his understanding of the Rambam is that the Iser Lav that enjoins us from eating the veil does not include the Or and the Atzomos. The Rambam only says that it's Osur, and we don't know what the Rambam means, whether he's talking about an Iser Doraisa that's derived from some sort of pasuk as a separate category of Iser, like Chatzishir or something, or whether the Rambam really implies only an Iser Drabana. And when the Rambam writes that if you eat the Or, the Atzomos of the veil strips your potur, it could very well be that what the Rambam means is that it is included in the lav of the veil, but it's just not normally eaten, and therefore it's not called derech achila. So again, what we're not sure about, and this is the most fundamental hakira regarding or and atzomos of non-kosher animals, is it that these parts of the animals are not included in the very shame, the veil of shame treifa, so they weren't included in the Isur? No. This is a chefzid Isur. It's part of the veil of treif. It has the shame of the veil of treif, but just the gavra is not eating it derech achila. And we have a tshuva here from the Mishnas Rabbi Aaron, which is Rabbi Aaron Kotla, in which he writes, b'chakira zu nechleku. This really is the heart of the issue. And the Yisod HaMachlokas, where the Osrim and the Matirim, as far as gelatin, Shari Nafkamina b'sofik hanal hu imat sobos yituknu b'ofen shi ru'uyim l'achila, what happens if you take these bones and by process of manufacturing and altering you produce something that is edible? If you hold that the p'tur is because it's eno derech achila, now it becomes derech achila and it's included in the vela and whatever other isurim. But if you say that it was excluded from the pasuk and there's no shame isur on the atzomos, then gelatin for sure should be mutter, because the fact that now you make it edible doesn't make it part of the nevela. So kishenasu ru'uyim akati, nevertheless ena b'chlal ha'isur dinismatu mikrob v'adi lo iol klal mashenasu le'ochel. So again, if it's the chisar and the derech achil, but it has the shame nevela and the shame isur, then when you take these atzomos and you make them edible through the process of manufacturing gelatin, then you have a serious problem of a dorais of the veil, because now it's derech achil. But if on the other hand it's paka shame, it wasn't included in the shame isur from the get-go of the veils and treifos, and that's a special miut that the Torah excluded it from the veils and treifos, then the fact that now you make it edible and tasty would not engender a shame in the veil of treifa to something that's not called the veil of treifa. And the big matir of the poskim, maybe going back almost 100 years in terms of gelatin, is Reb Chaim Ozer Grzinski, who was the Av Beis Din in Vilna, who was the Gadol HaDor about 100 years ago. Wait a second, is my math correct? Yeah, it's probably, let's say 75 years ago in any event. And he writes the tshuva of the Achiezer that the words of the Rambam, who asks eating or atzomos and atzomos nemru rak bi atzomos harachim, only applies to the soft bones sheyesh ben moach, they have a certain marrow inside, aval atzomos hakoshim, but dried hard bones is bevadai gami suro lekha, there's not even an isur. And therefore he concludes regarding gelatin and came poshut, de atzomos shenis yavshu ein behem chashash isur klal. Once you take these atzomos and you dry them, and certainly they're so hard, there's no isur at all. And the Rambam only asks them because he's talking about soft bones or bones that have a marrow that are edible. That's where the Rambam has a chashash isur, but not in the case of gelatin, where they are completely dried out. Now the Shulchan Aruch himself in Yoredei Siman Tzadi Tes writes that atzomos shall isur mitztarfim im hetel vatel es ha'isur. Again, this is a very complicated halacha, but basically what it means is that if you have a piece of non-kosher meat that falls into tarovas, it could become bottled by adding together two elements, the heter, the kosher meat, and the atzamos of the non-kosher meat itself. And that's upkapaskin in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeh, and therefore it would seem that the heter of gelatin would be based on the fact that the atzamos are not included in a valent treifa, therefore they're not awesome. Last raya from Yerodeh Sivan Tzadi Tes about the atzamos being mitztarif leheter levatos isa seems to be very powerful and often relied upon as a heter for gelatin based on tshuvas of Rabbi Chezkel Abramsky and Rabbi Ovadia Yosef. Atzamos are not considered nevela. They're not considered treifa. They're not considered a heftu disura. And the reason for that is that we can prove that from the fact that it's tarif leheter to be mevatel isur. And as a tshuva from the tshuvas van Hagos, he says, ha'osrim, those who are more machmir in gelatin, daiton, they interpret Rambam kosem she'osav a lokin olav, that when the Rambam means that the atzamos are also, he's talking about an isur doraisa. And this seems to be a rejection of any interpretation of the Rambam that he's talking about soft bones with marrow, etc. The Rambam is so safe, he doesn't make any qualification. And it would seem that even at Somos Yveshim, the dry bones, without any marrow, that are not soft, they're very hard and tough, nevertheless, they're considered also. And if they mix in a Tarovas, they would generate an Issa. Now, you could say that they won't generate an Issa, but that's for a separate reason, and that's because Enom Poltim Kidei Plita, that they don't spit out or inject into the Tarovas any sort of Tam of Issa. And the Tshuvas van Hagos adds another svar to generate an Isur in gelatin. He says, "Kamoshe yeshdin chatzi shir v'kamos yesh chatzi shir b'echus." And even if the atzomos in echus doesn't have the full fledged Isur of basar, but nevertheless it's a chatzi shir in echus in the quality of the bones as far as the Isur is concerned. And in chatzi shir, the Rambam happens to hold the chatzi shir osam in a Torah, just that you don't get malchus. And it could be that, again, if these bones don't have that lachus, that moisture, then they not polate the tam, but nevertheless it still remains also within chatzishir. But Reb Chaim Ozer, as we said in the Achiezer, is matir. He quotes the Shagasariyeh, who asks eating even something that's nifsal mi'achilus kelev. And the reason for that is because of the svar of achshaveh, meaning the very fact that I eat it, that is a statement that I consider as a foodstuff. And therefore there would be an achilus iser. But in commenting on the Shagasariyeh, Reb Chaim Ozer writes, that only applies when he's eating something as is. But if he eats it as an ingredient in some sort of maichol, and he's using that ingredient as a dovra maimid in order to give it certain structure, but that's not called achshaveh. He's not eating it as food. He's using it as an ingredient to give a certain substance and a structure to the food, but that's not achshaveh. And therefore, we could have a heter for gelatin, says Reb Chaim Ozer, even within the framework of the Chiddush of Achshveh, the way it's applied by the Shagasariyeh, because here he's not being Achshveh to eat it as an Ochel. And again, all this applies if the Ochel is Posel Me'achilus Adam. But he writes, Li Acher Shamachal Nifsal Me'achilus Adam Me'achilus Kelv Chazav Huchsho L'Achila. The question of what happens if he subjects this gelatin to a process by which it now goes back to being edible is perhaps yesh ladun ha'im gam ze mutali ochlo. There might be a svar to say even so it's mutali ochlo, as we discussed earlier in the Teferis Tzvi. And the chief rabbi of Israel, the Sephardic chief rabbi Shlomo Moshe Amar, in his tshuva of Shema Shlomo, quoting one of the earlier Rishon Litzions, writes Lahaloch that even the Nodeb Yehuda, who is machmir and prohibits eating food that became dry as a piece of wood, that's only because the machal was not nifsal legamre. It's still, even though it's dry, it has some sort of status as an edible. But davar shenifsal legamre, afilu me'achilas kelev, if it's inedible even to an animal, even though the Yehuda would be moter that it's mutter, even though it comes from an avelin treifa. So when does the shem isa remain, and you're not able to be mafkir the shem isa through the process of hisyabshus? That's only because it's edible for at least animal consumption. But once it goes past that stage, and it's no longer edible for animals, then even though the Yehuda would be matir. So just to summarize our discussion for today, and this you'll find in the Tshuvas von Haggis and in the Pesachei Tshuvas, you'll find it also in a Kovetz Tshuvas of Rav Yosef Shalom Eliyashiv, Tzarech Iyin Ledina. How do we actually paskin l'alocha? It's very difficult to know kayom in contemporary society where there's so much production and manufacturing of gelatin from pieces of meat and sometimes even from fresh meat. And it's very possible that there still is some sort of tam basa in the gelatin and it's not completely dried like a piece of wood. And therefore it's very difficult to come up with a heter for gelatin, halacha l'maisa. If the gelatin is produced from kosher animals and it's mixed into milk products, and you have a problem here of basa b'cholav, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says there's no iser basa b'cholav. So in that case, we certainly can rely on the heter gelatin in a mixture of gelatin with milk if the gelatin comes from a kosher animal. As far as the question of medications that have a mixture of gelatin in it that come from acholos asuros for acholos she'enbo sakana, or to somehow be mekil on mechushim, you know, you have pains and you want to take it for as an aspirin, then in the tshuva shevet al levi ravozner and also in tshuva sanhogis that we mentioned before, ya'arev betrufa dover marvi oz mutter, you can take this gelatin coated medicine and mix in it something that is bitter in taste, and then he's allowed to take that medicine. And as far as these coatings over the hot dogs that are produced from a certain material, a certain chomer, that is produced from and manufactured from or nevelos treifos, Rav Shlomo Amar has written extensively on this topic, and there is, again, room to go back and forth. So we'll stop here, and the mitzvah Hashem will be zocha to eat kosher food and observe all the halachas that are codified by the Torah in Parsha Shmini, and with this chus of Machol Sasuris, Yemirtz Hashem will inspire ourselves spiritually and uplift ourselves. Kim Yotzonami.